You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Morning. It is Friday, September the 26th of 2025. The time is 6:53 currently. Fair skies, some overcast skies, but not a bad start here on this Friday morning here at our WXCO studios in downtown Wausau, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. The temperature stands at 56 degrees. It is the WXCO Morning Report here as part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also catch our Morning Report segments on YouTube. Go to YouTube.com and go to the 98.9 WXCO channel if you want to see what's happening at 6:52, 7:22, 7:52, and 8:22 every weekday morning. Coming up a little bit later on here in the morning during our morning reports at 7:52, we'll be joined by Newman Catholic High School head football coach Paul Micklick. Talk about the Wisconsin sports weekend. It's an off week, probably a good thing for the Wisconsin Badger football team as they have struggled the last couple of games, falling two times in a row to Alabama and Maryland. They'll be back in action coming up next Saturday when they take on the Michigan Wolverines, who are ranked, I believe, number 19 in the country. They'll be on the road at Ann Arbor next week. But we may touch on the Badgers and the continuing heat that is on head coach Luke Fickell. Packers will be playing on Sunday Night Football, taking on the Dallas Cowboys, and of course get the coach's impressions on the Packers meltdown in Cleveland last week that dropped Green Bay to 2-1 on the season. And also the Brewers to the final three games of their season. They have tied their all-time record for 96 wins in a season. All they have to do is win one of the final three against Cincinnati, and they'll set a new club mark for wins in a campaign, and then, of course, get ready for the postseason. Will this be the first year for the Brewers to get to the World Series since 1982? Will this be the first year for the Brewers to win a World Series? Well, we'll see what Paul Micklick thinks about that as well. Again, he'll be with us in about an hour's time at 7:52. Also want to note that sports-wise, this weekend we have high school football both tonight and tomorrow afternoon. Tonight and tomorrow, both at Tom Field. Tonight, I'll be at Tom Field for the Wausau East Lumberjacks as they take on the Medford Raiders in a great Northern Conference matchup. We'll have live coverage starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 o'clock right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And then tomorrow, we will have the Wausau West Warriors. A very rare Saturday afternoon game for Wausau West. In fact, I can't remember the last time that Wausau West played a Saturday afternoon game. And I'm talking to the coach yesterday. He knows it's been a long time as well. So I'm going to have to research that between now and tomorrow. But tomorrow afternoon, again, we will have the Warriors and Stevens Point starting with the pregame show at 12:35 and the opening kickoff at 1 p.m. That's Wausau East tonight and Wausau West tomorrow. Newman Catholic is off this week because they were scheduled to take on Menominee Nation. But Menominee Nation has forfeited the rest of their seasons because of numbers issues. Issues and competitive issues as well. So no Newman game this week. They'll be back in action at home against Port Edwards next Friday night, and we'll have that one for you on WXCO as well. So again, we are very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still provides live play-by-play of high school sports and during the fall. It's Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Wausau East Football, 98.9 WXCO. Before we go any further, need to say hello and good morning to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
You had a busy night last night, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It was the opening night of Center Stage, and what a fun night it was. I mean, we had a really big audience last night, and they were full of a great energy, just a lot of a cheering and applause, and we got some great reactions after the show, and everybody had a lot of fun with it. Just overall, it was a really great show and a great way to kick off the weekend, I believe.
Yeah, so it's always exciting opening night, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of good anticipation and, turning those nerves into a positive energy, and it really paid off because I think we really delivered a great show for this audience, and they were very responsive of it. And
and the crowd was good?
I mean, they were.
In terms of a number of folks that came by?
I would say so. I think the bottom session in the Grand Theater was pretty full. We had people in the balcony too.
Well, that is good, because you can't say that you need to be, because I mean there's so many seats in that building. It's just very
hard to fill the Grand.
But
we did pretty good though.
The good news is, if you missed the show last night, like myself, we got two more chances to see it.
That's right.
Tonight at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Grand Theater. I will be there tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. I look forward to it.
Awesome.
Should be a fantastic production. And the great thing about it is it's free.
Absolutely.
Free. Incredible entertainment for free.
Absolutely.
It's like, wow. I mean, you don't get much better than that.
Nope.
And hopefully folks can leave a little something in the donation boxes, because I know that your organization...
Donations are always appreciated.
Your organization needs that in order to continue the great entertainment you provide every year.
Absolutely.
So again, way to go for night number one. Hopefully tonight will go just as well.
I'm sure it will.
Coming up, we have a top of the hour news update, and then we'll be back at 7:22 for more. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Here at our downtown studios, 56 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. It looks like it will be another beautiful day. In fact, a very, very nice weekend as well. Just keep tuned in for details on the forecast every half hour here on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes, joined by Ian Welsh. Ian, again, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Wanted to talk about a couple of deaths, and just wanted to mention, because people, that have brought, I think, a lot of to our lives here in central Wisconsin, one of which is Bill Ferrario, the former University of Wisconsin Badger, and played for a short time for the Green Bay Packers, passed away this week at the age of 47. He'd also suffered for some personal issues in recent years, but still it's one of those situations where you hate to see anybody pass away at such a young age. And I've been told that he had to suffer for some injuries after his football years that caused some problems as well. So condolences to the family and friends of Bill Ferrario. And also I wanted to touch on somebody that has been a big part of the radio business here in Central Wisconsin for a long time. In fact, I worked for him for a few years back in the late 1990s, early 2000s. In fact, I had my first full-time radio gig under this person. Mm-hmm. And I found out yesterday that the owner of Muzzy Broadcasting out of Stevens Point, mm-hmm. Rick Muzzy, who is the owner of WSPT 97.9 FM and also WPCN out of Stevens Point and B104.9 Country Radio, he passed away yesterday. And he is, again, I worked for him a couple of different stretches between 1996 and 2001. It was the first time that I ever had an opportunity to work full-time in this business. And he is somebody that was a survivor when it came to local radio. And in this era where there's so much consolidation with corporate radio, to have folks who are local radio people that do still believe in local radio is vitally important. In fact, in addition to owning these radio stations, he was on the air late in his career. In fact, he had his final show on 97.9 WSPT just 2 weeks ago. In fact, 2 weeks ago yesterday. He had been their morning show host for quite a while. And he stepped away just over 2 weeks ago, and they had a celebration on the air 2 weeks ago yesterday. And again, this I love radio. I love what radio is able to bring to listeners and to communities and the importance of it, even as technology changes. But the idea of the corporate radio is something that has not helped radio. It has not helped radio in local communities. So for anybody like Rick Muzzy and others who are local radio operators, somebody who does have feet on the ground in their local communities, people that do hire folks to be on the radio in their local communities, to be out there at events, to be part of their communities, it's vitally, vitally important. And I was there that back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I think, and if I'm not mistaken, Rick Muzzy took charge of those radio stations in Stevens Point back in the early to mid-1980s. So well over 40 years of local ownership in Stevens Point, and these stations heard here in the Wausau area and throughout Central Wisconsin as well. So it was a important part of our radio ecosystem. And personally, again, to have that opportunity to get hired there in 1996, first as a part-timer, then moving on into a full-time role, very important in my radio career. So when I heard this yesterday that Rick had passed on, it was sad news indeed. I think it's sad news for people that think that local radio is important. So again, condolences to Rick. I knew his wife, Eva, back in the day as well. The folks that work for Muzzy Broadcasting in Stevens Point and the entire Stevens Point community, especially where the radio stations are based out of. Condolences to all. And again, just wanted to mention that here this morning as well. Local radio is important. Local radio with local ownership is important. And Rick Muzzy did a good job in terms of keeping radio local for the folks in Stevens Point, especially. And again, hopefully the next ownership of the stations in Stevens Point and the stations of Muzzy Broadcasting continue to believe in that mission like Rick Muzzy had.
Absolutely.
The time is 7:29, coming up in 23 minutes or so. We'll be joined by Paul Micklegg. He will be talking Wisconsin sports as we head into the weekend. So make sure you stick around for that. Coming up next, it will be an information update, including the farm report. We keep you up to speed on what's going on in farm news in the morning at the bottom of the hour as well. Plus a look at the weather forecast, a very nice weather forecast coming up for this weekend. With Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Ian Welsh with us. I am Chad Holmes. Sun is shining. Temperature rising. We're into the low 60s, I think, at this point. And time to look ahead to the weekend and talk a little sports. Paul McLeague joining us again. Newman Catholic head football coach. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Oh, ready to roll here for another weekend. It doesn't feel like late September. It feels like more like early September, but a beautiful start here. Let's talk about the Pack first. We'll talk Brewers and the end of the regular season in the next segment. But the Packers last week, it doesn't take long for the rumbles of perfect season and the way they had played the first two games, and then, boy, I mean, and I'll give you a little credit. I didn't sort of agree with you Sunday, but you were, throughout the day, you were basically saying they were letting them hang around and kind of game that you lose, and that's exactly what happened.
I said it in the first quarter.
Yes, you did.
You can see how the tempo was going of both offensively and special teams and things like that, and it just didn't have any feel to it that they were going to go out there. And in the past, and I said it to you in the past right away, if you are going to be a team that's going to be whatever they people say 17-0 and going to the Super Bowl and well, things like that,
people were wrong again.
People were wrong again because you have to go out there and put that team away in the first half and leave no doubt. And they left a lot of doubt and come back and that was a bad loss. I mean, because now you're sitting here and this is almost a must game in game four to go out there and win at Dallas on which Dallas. I really, truly believe it's not who you play, it's when you play them. I will say this. Cleveland was 0-2. They're playing at home. They're going to give you their best shot.
You know the thing about this past week that I was thinking about? You gave away the Detroit win because Detroit stole one against a team that's a better team, Baltimore, on Monday night. Packers gave one away against a team that you should go in and win against. So, in a sense, you gave away that terrific week one win.
Right now, you're you just are back to zero. You're right. I mean, they were back to zero.
They
because
took that little advantage and they just gave it away for basically nothing. I mean, because there's certain games. Hey, I mean, if Detroit loses to Baltimore at the start of the year, you look at that schedule. Like, oh, on the road, that's a tough game. They got that game, and now the Packers would have to find one against a team like Baltimore or somebody else down the line to get it back. So you're right. I mean, there's not a thin line right now in this division. It's not the old NFC North that was, you know, you could go 10-7 and feel like, yeah, we're going to be fine. I mean, you got Detroit. I still think that Minnesota is going to be fine when all is said and done. There's some questions still with the quarterback position. And even Chicago showed signs of life this week. So I mean, you're right. I mean, this is one that you just cannot lose. That's the bottom line, isn't it?
Because you had a chance to be 4-0 in those first four games before the bye. Before the year, you really wanted to be 3-1. And this was one of them that you thought you were going to definitely win.
Chicago beat Dallas. I mean, again,
well, no, I'm talking about Cleveland.
No, but I'm looking at, you're talking about being 4-0 at the end. So it's like, now again, it's another game where you're going to be losing significant ground to another team in your division if you don't win this game.
I'm going to go back to They're 1-2. They're playing at home. Their season's on the line.
They should be 0-3.
They should be 0-3. So they cannot go to get to 1-3. They're going to do, again, it's when you play teams, and I don't think this is a good setup for them when they play them, because Dallas needs this game. I mean, I know Green Bay needs this game, but there's a difference about being at home.
What about
and being healthy in the line?
What about Pack? Yeah, offensively, there was no juice offensively, I thought, during the whole game. And there are times the Packers look really good offensively, but then there's other times they look like this. And I don't. What's your take on
I'm gonna
the offensive
be, I'm gonna
side?
Be, I'm going to be put my Mr. A-Rod on here and go, this is the NFL. You're going to have ups and downs. I mean, they looked fine for against Detroit and Washington, and those two teams are good teams,
yes,
too.
They are.
So Cleveland does have a good defense, and they showed that, and they did a good job against Baltimore and Cincy.
I do love the fact that I've read some articles from NFL writers. One really good performance for Cleveland against Green Bay defensively. This could be one of the best defenses in the league.
Well, I didn't say that.
No, but
I didn't say that.
I'm just finding that in this era, this clickbait era, because Baltimore ran it up and down the field the week before against them, put up a lot of offense. They did play well against Cincinnati in week one. So, I mean, it is a good defense, but I just find the fact that, you know, Packers win a couple of games, and I was like, oh, this could be one of the best teams ever. I mean, the early overreactions are just out of control when it comes to sports.
Yeah, you can't jump. I will say, you have a loss like that, you sure don't read the papers, and you don't read the you stay away from all that stuff, because it's just nothing's good out of it, and they have to get back on that horse, and they got to get, but offensively, when you're talking about, and I don't know what they did during the course of the week, but I've said this to you for years, and from experience, injuries that happen and then you have a week to prepare for it, you could handle.
Right.
When you have lose a guy, now I don't know what they did practice-wise the week before, but when you lose a guy one play into the game,
right.
And then you lose another guy later on, and you're one guy's not doing blocking very well at all, it makes it's tough to run an offense. I didn't think that they adjusted well to that, those injuries and the stuff that was there. Hey, if you can't block, roll them out. If you can't, short stuff, the screens were there.
Real quickly here in the last moments before we have the top of the hour, I know that you still have some doubts about LaFleur in terms of taking it to that ultimate level. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Why do you feel that way?
You go back in the history. They should have beat Tampa Bay at home. All right, they went on the road and they got against San Francisco and said that we need the home field advantage. Then they got the home field advantage and that wasn't good enough either. They lost a couple years in a row to San Francisco and Tampa Bay at home. So what is it now? Because right now they're saying that we have all the talent we can have.
Yeah.
So then why are we losing to the Cleveland Browns?
So they better do it. They better do it. We'll talk more in 22 minutes here on the 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. WXCO Morning Report. Final segment of the week, not that I'm counting, here on 98.9 WXCO. I'm ready to enjoy being outdoors and for some football tonight and tomorrow. Excuse me. But joined by Paul Micklick, and let's talk a little football with the Badgers. Boy, that was not good last week, was it?
I I was working, so I missed the first half, and I got a lot of updates on that, and I watched the second half, and you know, they're going through some struggles right now, and people, again, I keep on using the word people, they will compare a situation to a Greg Gard situation, you know, like, oh, you know, this is kind of what happens. You know, they ask for, you know, they say, hey, you know, you gotta, you know, get rid of him or whatever. And I'm not a big fan of getting rid of people, because I just don't think that is always the answer. But to compare to what Greg Gard did and what Luke Fickell did, or is doing at Wisconsin is not the same. Greg Gard was underneath it at Wisconsin. Now, Luke Fickell had great success in his other places, but he did not have the same success at Wisconsin yet that Greg Gard did at Wisconsin. And the reality of it is everything's got to be a little different. Now people, 2 years later, they're saying Greg Gard knows exactly how the blueprint of the NIL. You know what I mean? So they went from saying he's got to go to, oh, he's got the blueprint of how to do the NIL. Well, Fickell has not yet at Wisconsin, and that's going to be a problem going forward if they don't fix that and what's going to happen. With the schedule they had this year, did anybody actually think? We sat here last year. I sat down. Right. They were never going to win. To even say six games, I think was a little.
But the thing about, there's nothing there right now. It's an empty shell. I mean, you can say you can lose games and still see something being built. Do you see anything being built right now? It just feels like an empty shell watching against Maryland. There's nothing there right now. And I saw a story this week that there was a claim that they can't fire him because the cost is just prohibitive right now. But I can't imagine that if it goes in this direction that unfortunately looks like it may go for the rest of the year, that the pressure on both Fickell and on McIntosh and on the program is going to get so tight that something is going to have to be done.
I don't think so. I'm certain to think that there nothing is going to be done. I do think they'll win a game here somewhere along the line. That they'll get in there. If they go 0-8 the rest of the way or whatever it is, it's got to be ramped up, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
But I sat on this with you 2 years ago with that schedule, and I said to you, Chad, if they don't do it now,
right,
they're in trouble.
And they didn't.
And they didn't. And that's, and so the 2 years ago, you could see this coming. The one thing I'll talk about Ron Wolf is when he didn't think Ray Rose was the answer,
he cut bait,
and I think that's a problem.
But I do think that they had to really pay big to get him. I mean, again, the cost is a factor at Wisconsin. It you don't want to. That buyout is not insignificant, and it's still not insignificant, and so it's.
I mean, I sat here and said Luke Fickell, that was a good hire. Yeah, I mean, on paper, it was a good hire.
But would you are you really saying you would have fired Fickell after the first year?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, and I'm just no.
I'm saying that I also said that was a good hire, to get that money, you had to pay him that
exactly.
money, because otherwise he was going to get it from somewhere else.
Right. I know exactly. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
And I'll be honest with you. Would you think that somebody could come in here right now and fix it? Anyways, I think with maybe with a portal now, maybe you probably could a little quicker.
And there's a couple of people with Badger connections. I guarantee you, there's going to be somebody with a Badger connection that would be the next coach. Would you agree with that?
Like
the guy from New Mexico is doing a nice job.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe like a Lance Leopold.
Jim Leonard could be coming back. It depends if he wants to after being snubbed. You know, he's doing well with the Broncos right now.
As a D-back coach? He's been well there?
He's been unusual because I do think he's had other opportunities, but he's doing what he wants to do. There's questions in the back of the mind in terms of sometimes is he waiting for something? I don't know. It's just because sometimes, you know, as a coach, yep. coaches, what you want to get that either coordinator job or a head guy. It feels like he could have had a head college job, I think. Somebody would have hired him, but he's decided to go in this route. I mean, it's his job. It's his life. I mean, but it just seems interesting. That's the way to put it.
I'm just happy I'm not McIntosh because I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure one way or the other and on this whole situation. In the perfect world, they play better.
You know what he's be thankful for? That Greg Gard has done a good job. Because if Gard hadn't, he probably would have – he would offed him real fast too, and he could have been in real trouble if he had a men's basketball program.
Two programs like that, yes.
The two biggest programs.
Yes,
exactly
correct.
Right. All right, let's do our number for the day quiz. We didn't even talk about the Brewers. We'll have to talk about them next week when the playoffs are underway, but it's a baseball number. The Brewers have won zero World Series championships. The Yankees have won the most World Series championships. How many World Series championships have the Yankees won? So your choices are 27, 32, 37. Ooh. the New York Yankees have won the most world championships. 27, 32, or 37?
How many times have the Yankees won the World Series? That's very impressive. I mean, any one of those numbers is impressive. But okay, I'm going to say 27 or 32.
He's 2-4 this week, so this is for a winning week. 37. He's already got a passing grade.
Okay, I'm going to say 37. 37 is my final answer. I'm going to say 37.
What do you think?
I'm going to say 27.
The Yankees have won 27 World Series championships.
Darn it.
Well, one for you this week. Two for five over there, so it's still a passing grade. So no problem.
Next week, try again.
All right. Well, I will see you tomorrow for Sully, and I will see you on stage tomorrow night. So, again, go out and see Ian at the Grand tomorrow and tonight at 7 o'clock.
Thanks, Chad. Happy Friday, everybody. Have a great day.
More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.